Welcome to Podcast 101, Setting SMART Goals. My name's Glenn Cranham, and I'm a senior lecturer and assessor for Drummond Education. Sometimes in my assessing role, we have to refer some of the case studies that are submitted, and the majority of those referrals are for poor SMART goal setting. So I thought it might be beneficial for us to look at why we establish SMART goals and what the components of a SMART goal are, so that we can make sure that we're hitting the criteria. So looking at why we might establish SMART goals, well, from a client's perspective, a SMART goal is there to be motivating. If a goal is motivating, you're much more likely to adhere to your training program and adopt behavior changes that are necessary in order for you to achieve those goals. From our perspective, it enables us to be able to plan the content of our full program. That may be each individual training session and each subsequent phase of training that we work towards in order to achieve those SMART goals, dependent upon time frame. It gives a purpose for both us and for our clients for undertaking the tasks and challenges that we might present to them and adopting those behavior changes, and therefore gives value to attending the gym or going out for the run or making those dietary changes and nutritional changes that we might recommend. Finally, enables us to be able to monitor progress. So with effective SMART goal setting, we can see whether or not we have achieved those SMART goals. And if we were to use short, medium, and long-term goals, by assessing at each stage as we went along whether or not we've achieved those goals, we could see whether we would be likely to achieve our greater goal. So we've looked at why we might establish SMART goals. Now let's look at what a SMART goal actually is. So SMART goal is an acronym that stands for a specific, measurable, achievable, either realistic or relevant, and time-framed goal. Let's look at each one of those components in turn. So when we say specific, we are looking to state exactly what it is we're looking to accomplish. So something like losing weight is a goal, but it's not a SMART goal, and it doesn't really nail down the details. So it enables a lot of what I call wiggle room, and it allows for non-attendance, poor adherence, and non-adaptation of nutritional changes. Whereas if we were to nail that down and say specific, that weight loss goal would now be to lose 10% of body fat in 10 weeks' time, then I can set a clear goal and be specific about whether or not it's something that I've achieved. Looking at the measurable component, it's vital that our goals are measurable. So again, with a fitness goal, some people's goals may well be to lose weight, get fit, and tone up. Getting fit could mean very different things to different people. So we need to be able to measure that. It could be a cardiovascular goal. It could be a resistance training goal, for example. We could say it's the ability to be able to run continuously for 20 minutes at 8 kilometers an hour for one of our clients. And that then is something that is measurable that we can look at achieving. It could be a one rep max of 110 kilos for a bench press. Again, something that we can measure and, given our programming and time frame, know whether or not we've achieved it. That brings us on to achievable. So your goal should be challenging in order for it to be motivating, but it needs to be within the ability of your client. And so we would look at what are current guidelines, particularly, for instance, with weight loss and healthy eating. Current guidelines would suggest anything up to a kilo per week, which would be pretty challenging for the majority of people. being that that's looking at around about a 7,000 calorie deficit per week. Next, we're moving on to whether or not something is either realistic or relevant. And yes, there is a component of realistic within the achievable, but realistic is also whether or not it's achievable, but whether or not it's realistic for our clients and their level of commitment. So yes, it may well be achievable to attain a kilo's weight loss, but is that realistic for our client with their current living, working, nutritional practices? So there's a component of realistic for our client, and then there's looking at whether or not it's relevant. So a relevant goal should be a goal that is set in order to help us to achieve what it is we're looking to achieve. Sounds pretty obvious, but heavy strength training resistance goal may not be the most appropriate for a weight loss client. So it's looking about whether or not what we're going to do, what goals we're setting, are appropriate for the big picture. Then finally, and this is again where a lot of SMART goals are poorly written, is the time-framed component. So when we give a specific date in time, we are casting in stone the intention to achieve by that date. So if it's a weight loss goal and we're trying to achieve it, let's say a 6 pound weight loss in 6 weeks' time, or arguably 3 kilos just shy of, then we are not giving ourselves any ability to be able to, again, wiggle out of that goal. We either have achieved it or we haven't achieved it. Often I'll get SMART goals presented where the time frame could be 2 to 4 weeks or 5 to 6 weeks or 10 to 12 months. Effectively, you're giving people the opportunity to fail. So if you set 2 to 4 weeks, most people will look at that as a 4 week goal. That's just the way the body works or the mind works. So what we need to do with our time frame is set a specific time in the future. So if we were to look at a SMART goal and take a client's aim and let's put it into a SMART goal. So we've got our client coming to us. They want to lose weight, tone up, and get fit. Great. That means a lot to them. But it's not something that really is something we can program towards without being able to be more specific. So losing weight, as I've said, we could look to a reduction in body fat. We could look for a total reduction in weight. Although if some of our training might build lean muscle mass, we may not get the same level of weight loss that our clients were looking for. Or we could look at reduction in girth measurements. So let's say, for instance, we're going to use body fat and we're going to say we want to reduce body fat by 5% in 10 weeks' time. Then we're looking at getting fit. So getting fit, let's say we want to put that cardiovascular goal in place. So we're going to set that goal of the ability to be able to run continuously for 20 minutes at 8 kilometers an hour in 10 weeks' time. Then toning up, let's say we're looking at potentially a girth reduction or possibly a reduction in dress size. So let's say we are looking for a 2-inch reduction in waist circumference in 10 weeks' time. Or we are looking to go from a gap size 14 dress to a gap size 10 dress in 10 weeks' time. These can then be tuned into our client's mindset and really what they're thinking is, okay, I want to look better on the beach in 5 weeks' time, 10 weeks' time. And giving them the dress size and the girth circumference enables us to be able to give a goal that's in line with their thinking. We also have our specific physiological goals that we're putting in place, such as the ability to be able to run continuously or the reduction in body fat that will enable us to program around those changes. I hope that helps in your SMART goal setting, and I look forward to reviewing those in due course.